You're listening to the Amplify podcast with Dan R. Morris and Rachel Martin, brought to you by Blogging Concentrated.
While some say I look like the nutty professor, we bring in trusted nerd to help us wade through tech. Lots of social media and tech cloud headlines next on the Amplify podcast. Newmar episode Noah's at Cheetoy.
Dan, let's do another video here at BCIT or the Blog Mastery Conference.
Like a 360 video?
Like a 360, but we could spin around, but there could be three of us in the 360 video.
Who are we going to have for the third?
Well, I don't know. What if we have Jonathan? I can't say his last name, but Jonathan.
Jonathan?
Yes.
From Trusted Nerd?
Trusted Nerd, like the trusted cool nerd guy.
Dude, seriously, how do you say your last name?
Yaniv.
Yaniv. Okay, I had it right in my mind, everybody, but you know, I knew I would botch it, and then I wrote here Dan, but then, yeah, he's just right here.
So we have a dude from Trusted Nerd. Like, this guy knows more tech geek stuff than we do.
I know. Actually, when I was going over the notes, Jonathan, I was a little bit afraid, because I thought, oh, I'm going to mess up, because he knows everything.
So I saw, when we were speaking yesterday, he was in the audience. And he had the Google Glass thing on, and I thought, oh, that dude's a nerd. We should have him on the show. Like, how did you get the Google Glass? How does that work?
Technically, you have to be approved by Google. You have to live in the States, yep. And you have to be a Google Glass Explorer.
So you don't live in the States?
No.
And you're not a Google Glass Explorer?
I am, but
He's
I'm not.
He's trusted.
I am, but I'm not through. Like I didn't go and tweet Project Glass and request, hey, if I had glass, I would do this and this and this.
That's what people do?
That's what people did, and then they would get an invite to purchase Google Glass. But, you know, I thought, okay, I'm going to wait a little bit and just see how the reviews are on Google Glass before you go and you spend $1,500 on a product.
So they're $1,500 for this Google Glass?
They are $1,500 through Google.
And you said you wear them when you drive.
I do.
You don't get distracted?
I shouldn't say that on the podcast.
He didn't say that. You know what? We're just going to consciously edit that part out right now. Okay. Really, though, like, how do you hold a conversation? I mean, do you get distracted little notifications all the time?
Well, what it does is it basically will ding in your ear, and then it will pop up, and it will disappear after 5 seconds. So if I let's say like I got a notification, I would just tilt my head up, and then I would see the notification there. So every time you get a notification, you have a little ding in behind of your ear, because Google Glass actually uses bone conduction technology.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have some MP3 players
yeah.
like that.
So it basically vibrates the audio right into your brain, and if you would say that.
Wow, yeah. That's cool. All right.
So did you get those before or after CES?
I got these before CES.
Because you were at CES, and we were at CES, and I call CES the year of the drones.
I kept thinking, totally. Why is there so much 360-degree camera stuff?
I kept thinking, why is there so many drones and also screen protectors?
Oh, there were so many screen protectors.
Every year at CES, there are tons upon tons upon tons of screen protectors. I literally have to take an empty suitcase with me every time I go to CES. And I've done CES for 7 years, six or 7 years in a row.
I cannot imagine how many screen protectors you have. If you put them all on, you couldn't even touch your phone.
Did they give you bowling balls to test them at home? Because they were dropping bowling balls on them.
Drills?
I went to Startup Debut. And someone
put what's Startup Debut?
Startup Debut is an auxiliary conference that runs next side by side CS. Yeah.
They it do is? It.
Yeah.
Did we see that?
No, we're not cool.
No.
It's open to media only.
We're media,
we
sort of.
We realized this year we should have done the media pass. Like, you guys get, like, special area. You get to be cool.
Yeah.
We were just people.
Yeah, we were just roaming around getting tired.
But the company was called Liquipel. And Liquipel has this new screen protector. You can literally drop anything on it, and your screen won't crack. I had a brand new iPhone. I do not want to
drop a bowling ball on it.
Take that chance.
Right.
I
cannot imagine you not ever having anything brand new.
I have a lot of stuff brand new.
I am sure you have.
Do you have a 360-degree camera?
I have one at home that I am testing out right now. That is from V360.
Did you know that YouTube now has a function where when you search for a video, you can sort by 360-degree
yes,
videos?
Did you do the Nikon 360 video challenge at CES?
No.
Why not?
You would have rocked it. You had your Google Glass.
We jumped in the air and stuff. It was cool.
I heard about it, but I never did it.
It was really cool. I was a little bit hesitant, but Dan's like, no, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. And you only get one shot. And, of course, they're like, yeah, good job. But it was cool.
Something else that we saw at CES that you spent some time at was the health area.
I did like the health area.
Yes.
So I found the health area fascinating, specifically because my youngest son Samuel has celiac disease and he has chronic kind of, he has asthma conditions. And so we've had to use pulse oximeters. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys had one. And then Dan sent me an article that you wrote about one.
Yeah, you did a review on one of these pulse things?
And it's called iHeart. It's a company that's based out of Vancouver, BC. It's run by Sarah Goodman and Jess Goodman, Jess Goodman being having a PhD. I talked to the guy. I went to their launch. I have never been so impressed by a doctor in my whole life. This guy knew so much stuff. I'm like, dude, if I have to come and fly down to Toronto where he's at, Sarah's over here, he's down in Toronto, mm-hmm. I will. Because this guy knew, explained everything in such detail. It was incredible. But what iHeart is, it measures your physiological age. So
it does?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I wrote on here that you're 27.
Yes.
Okay. I had to do that because I'm
really
40.
27 yeah. Or you're really 27?
He doesn't look 27.
I'm 27, but my physiological age is 16.
Is that good?
That's really good.
How old am I?
Well, you're 41, know. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
I must be physiologically like 50.
Yeah, well, I would love to try this because I thought it was just a pulse oximeter, and then I was reading your review and it was so thorough.
Can you put it on your nose or is it just your finger?
Is it just the finger? It's just the finger.
It goes on your finger. It has a really nice OLED screen on it, so it actually will tell you like what your pulse rate is.
And will it tell you which finger it's on?
No.
And it measures your blood, your oxygen level?
Yes, it does, your blood oxygen level.
And how long does that take to show up? Was it fairly quick?
I think it was about 30 seconds.
Okay.
This is new, right? This technology? Like, you couldn't do this 5 years ago? Could you buy this for a home thing?
I feel like the pulse oximeters, you could get them through a doctor's prescription.
Yeah, like when you go to the hospital, for example, you can rent one out. But they don't have that kind of tech in it where you can actually see the results. You have to wait for the doctor to give you the results. You can't see it in real time.
Yeah, the one that I have for my son Samuel, it just goes on his finger and it reads the oxygen level. It's not nearly as complex and detailed as this blood meter that you talked about with iHeart.
So now that technology is improving, I saw a video this week of a blogger named Cassie Ho who photoshopped herself in a video.
I saw that
live.
A couple weeks ago.
You did?
Yes, you're still behind the times.
Like, how
you're
did it
so
work?
Behind.
Yeah.
She was photoshopping herself in a video.
In
which
real
I know
time.
She did it.
Really?
I think she did it after.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think she moved her hand.
But she did her hand motions, like what she wanted to do. Because she's a personal trainer and she's on YouTube. She's got 2 million YouTube fans and stuff. So she did this video to kind of debunk culture's idea of what women look like. So she took a picture of herself, and she's like in great physical shape. She's this trainer, and then photoshopped herself by moving around to what the stereotype of culture says.
I didn't know you could Photoshop a moving video. Like, I knew you could do a picture.
Did you know you could Photoshop a moving video?
No, I did not.
Yeah,
like,
I didn't.
The idea of your legs moving in it's making it look thinner. I thought, wow, that's really intriguing.
Sounds kind of fake, in a sense. And I'm wondering why someone...
See, that was the point of the video.
Yeah, but I'm wondering why someone would do that. Like, there's so much talk these days about teenage girls, for example, committing suicide because people are going in there tweeting them, saying they're ugly, they're this, they're fat, they're that. So that's why Dove, for example, launched... I don't know if you've seen that Dove campaign. I'm guessing you have.
We're quite familiar with the Dove campaign.
We actually ran it on the findingjoy.net site. We shared the Dove campaign video, like that kind of going against that cultural stereotype, saying you're really beautiful the way you are.
Exactly.
And I feel like this Cassie Ho, that's what she was trying to do. She was trying to say, look at how beautiful I am at this point, but this is what society is saying that I need to look like.
So, speaking of video...
Yes?
Now, this video is... It seems like video is getting better. So Google just came out with their like quarter end results, and they said that their ad revenue has gone up.
I have all the numbers like normal.
They said their ad revenue went up because YouTube videos are better. Like the commercials that people are putting in, you know, the 15 and 30 second commercials people are putting on the front of videos. Like now those videos are getting so good, people are watching them for the full 30 seconds.
I was surprised by that, too, but I've noticed that sometimes everyone... I don't know if you guys have had it, where I'll watch an entire video, and then I'm like, oh, I just sucked into watching the whole YouTube video.
I've never watched a whole...
The whole ad.
Ad. Have you watched an ad?
No. Unless I'm forced to watch that whole ad,
and how often
that's
does
when
happen?
I watch the ad.
Like a gun against your head?
Well, it's Jonathan,
I watch a lot of YouTube. Like, I've had one client of mine. I actually ran their social media, did their Facebook campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
They have over 3.2 million YouTube subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
So... I'm really on YouTube all day, and maybe one out of every 10 videos I look at, it makes me watch the whole entire thing.
Do you know that? Remember that ad that was, the ad was for YouTube ads, and it was a guy flipping pizza?
Yes.
That was on like every 3 seconds I would hear that. I'm so glad I don't see that anymore.
Oh,
that is super funny. Yes, well,
I kept seeing that over and over and over.
When is it going to end?
Yes.
Oh. I did not remember that one. Maybe that wasn't my YouTube love.
This was last year, at least.
Oh, I just ignored it.
That thing was on all the time. So I'm happy that people are actually watching ads now. But I have a feeling that means that we have to step up our game with our ads if we want someone to actually watch.
Well, I think it goes back to the part of the ad has to be compelling. It has to have a story in it. There's something going back to when we looked at all of the ads from the Super Bowl. And we looked at what was trending with those, and it really wasn't about the company. It was about some type of overarching story that related to it and that had this emotional connection with the company.
Well, speaking of story, did you know that...
That did a good transition.
Did you know that Facebook can create a story with the data it has on everyone on Facebook?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can tell you everything that they need to know about one particular person. So Google has decided that in order to compete with Facebook... They have to create their own database of customer information. Because right now, while they have a billion bits of data, they don't really have anything for advertisers. So now Google has a new platform they're coming out with that has Facebook ad technology, basically. So you're going to be able to target people by demographic.
I think it's cool. Like, you know, what's interesting about it is that Facebook is definitely the person that Google is going up against. Like, you would used to think back it was like Google versus Yahoo versus Bing versus Ask Jeeves or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And now it's Facebook.
Just that the idea of the database to me is, I don't understand why they haven't leveraged this already. They know every site that we go to.
Yes.
They know more than Facebook does.
Oh, Google, have you ever seen the documentary on Google? It's well worth looking into. There's a whole documentary about Google, and it said basically if Google fell into the wrong hands, we'd all be in for kind of a bit of a trouble because they know everything, every search, every IP address, everything.
I can't imagine. You know, the government somehow has access to a lot of the security cameras, like the state security cameras, the traffic cameras. I wonder, like, is there a point in time when someone's going to be able to hack security cameras and hack Google's data and then... Like, it's a movie, you know? Then
people,
you have pretty much everything.
Well, if you consider it this way. People have already hacked into things like baby monitors.
Mm-hmm. That is freaky.
That
you
is
have
freaky.
It really disturbs me. They hack
Why
in.
Why would you hack into a baby?
Because they're just freaky.
Because they're freaky.
I don't want to watch a baby cry.
It's not about that. They start to, like, talk or
they start to, like yell and scream at these babies and be like, ah, wake up!
They, like, hack in and or else they
really?
Say... Yeah, it's very creepy.
And and just think about that. The baby's actually... will remember that because they're so young. Like it's always like these really small moments in someone's life when they're really young. If they start remembering those things later on in life, that can really traumatize them. So it's kind of it's a big deal.
This is totally unrelated, but
on YouTube yesterday,
I watched a bird that was like a mockingbird, and it made chainsaw sounds.
Oh, really?
Because its house had been torn down by foresters, and it was mimicking the chainsaws. So when people found it in the forest, it sounded just like a chainsaw. Like that. Exactly.
We didn't know you did impressions either. That's awesome. That's awesome. He's not only the tech nerd, but he knows all the impressions.
So
yeah.
Two of the things that I noticed this week, I hadn't noticed before, was that two celebrities of sorts are now bloggers.
Okay, so I'm really embarrassed because I had to look up a little bit of info on them.
Like Ben, you know Ben Bernanke?
No.
So Ben Bernanke... until a few years ago, was the most powerful man in the world. He was the
really?
Head of the federal...
I thought
federal...
it was Mark Zuckerberg.
No. Well, yeah, you could debate that.
No.
Mark
Zuckerberg would definitely bow to Mr.
He would, you're right. I know who he is.
Ben Bernanke was a head of the Federal Reserve. for the United States.
Okay.
He decided what money was worth.
Remember, we're in Canada. So yeah. We have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, well,
when, like a big line, and we don't know what's going on.
You know what? I live in Minnesota, and I've gone north, and there's no line. It just kind of trees, and then they're there.
Well, when you go across the border, like, the weather just changes automatically.
Well, when Ben Bernanke changes the value of the dollar, it affects every country on the planet.
Yeah.
So now that he's no longer the head of the Federal Reserve, he is a blogger.
I know. I find that fascinating. I've gone to his blog, and it's a blog.
It's a regular blog, and he's writing economic finance information.
Yeah.
And I thought, when has this ever been a possibility that somebody like that would do that? And, you know, it goes back to even people like Kelsey Grammer and your favorite rock star. Like, when we were kids, there was no way you could talk to these
people. You had to mail in stuff.
To become part of the fan club, and then you never talk to them.
No, no, but we are.
But now I could comment on Ben Bernanke's blog.
You could comment.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's like Obama starting a blog when he's done on presidential policy.
He has a Twitter
arts
handle.
Arts and crafts.
Yes.
So then the other guy was Leonard Maltin. Did you know who that was?
Okay, I did not.
You did not know who Leonard Maltin was?
Don't.
Did you?
No.
You'll tell me, and then I'll go, oh, yeah, I do know. Wait, you know me, because I'm horrible with names.
So. He's a movie reviewer. Oh, who were the big movie reviewers? They were
like
Roper and Scott.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's not even go there. I know all. They'll come back to me. The one of them died.
Yeah,
Siskel and Ebert.
Siskel and Ebert were the big ones, and Leonard Maltin was number two.
Okay, so I do know him actually.
So now he's taken his movie review TV show and he's created a podcast about it.
I did look at that. That was cool. That's fascinating that they're moving from the TV show to actually doing a podcast like that too. I like that.
Are you a movie guy?
Can you watch movies through your Google Glass?
Yes and no. The battery life sucks.
Okay.
I can watch YouTube on here.
Can you watch?
Yeah, I can watch YouTube.
But if it's a movie on YouTube, 2 hours, how long does it last?
Battery life's about 30 minutes.
How do you plug it? Do you have like a charger that you can just...
You just plug it in. It's micro USB.
Oh, so you're connected when you're sitting at the table yesterday.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, that's fascinating to me. Okay, so the other thing that I found super fascinating, since we were talking about all these trending things, was the BuzzFeed thing. Did you read that? You sent me the BuzzFeed article.
That infographic that they had about all their traffic and
Look
everything.
Look at this. I wrote the graphic. You probably can't read my writing, but... So they did advertising and media. So they had like Mahalo, Squidoo, and... Wikipedia on media and advertising the viral agencies and BuzzFeed.
You know what that was for?
Yes. You go ahead and explain it.
So back in 2008, when the owner or the head of BuzzFeed
there were two people with BuzzFeed.
Was trying to pitch what they were going to do, they created this concept that BuzzFeed would be the place
where all of
the top content and the media people would meet.
I think it's fascinating that they made that Venn diagram like that.
And became that.
Mm-hmm. So in 2008, they had 750,000 monthly visitors. And so this is the number that blew me away. Now, Jonah Peretti, he's the founder, they have 1 billion video views a month.
A month?
Yes, billion.
Damn.
I know.
Oh, great. Now our podcast just went to PG.
That's all right. You know what? Maybe we can just do different rules here.
Well, in Canada, damn means darn.
It does. So we're good. We're set. You know, I noticed that when we crossed the border, they said, we just want to let you know that you can use this word here freely.
So somebody asked you today.
Yes.
If you were going to or you asked somebody if they were going to another show. I think you asked the SEO girl. Or no, the PR lady. She was going to another event. What was that event?
Grow Conference is a conference that is up in Whistler. I went last year. I loved that conference.
What is it?
It's a tech conference. The tech conference.
And it's GROW? Grow?
GRO. The website is GROWCONF.com.
Okay.
It's an amazing conference with the most beautiful views ever. I don't know if you guys have ever been up to Whistler.
It's not as big as CES, clearly, right?
Gosh, no.
But Whistler, I've heard, is absolutely stunning, isn't it? The Olympics were there and everything. My parents have been there and love it, so
it is
worth going there.
Definitely.
When is that conference?
It's in August. I believe it's in the middle of August.
Is that the best time to go to Whistler anyway?
Yes. Unless you're a skier. Unless you're a skier, of course.
So what was the conference about? The tech-wise, is it about blogging in that, or just learning about it, or
it's a little bit about blogging, a little bit about.
We should come back.
They got the drones.
Oh,
and
you
all
guys
the
should
stuff
totally
there.
Come. There was one company that was called Four Moms, and they were actually showing these new car seats that will actually these new car seats will actually open by themselves and will basically tell you is the child seated properly, into the seat. There's also a stroller that will basically with one button fold, unfold.
I've seen that because as a mom I've struggled with the come on, I can't get it to open up. Interesting. I think we should come back in August now.
You should.
To Whistler? Totally.
To Whistler and to go to the Grow conference. That's cool.
If anybody wants to pay us to go to Grow, we're available.
We're ready to go to that.
I think it's a two-day event, but totally worth it. Totally.
So the only last thing we had on here was Connor Franta, a YouTube star who has a book that he just launched. We always like to highlight.
A YouTube star launching a book.
Yeah, it's fascinating. So his book is called
A Work
in Progress.
Do you know anything about this concept? Do you know that the last YouTuber to put out a book sold more copies than Harry Potter in the first month?
Yes.
Really?
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
But the YouTube superstars have so much influence and so much power that they can launch this book and they rise to the top.
And he's a number one bestseller.
So,
now,
he's in one day, he was in the top 25 of Amazon. So, and he has
one day.
He's got 4.4 million subs on YouTube, which is crazy.
It's hard to get to 1,000, let alone.
I can't even imagine when I'm writing these numbers down. Sometimes I'm like, wow, that is a lot of people that have clicked that subscribe button right there.
So rock on, dude.
What would happen if PewDiePie launched a
book? I was waiting. I saw I don't know. I think
that's going to happen.
I do too. Really? And so people, the fans want that. There's still something powerful about holding a physical book.
Yeah.
So.
And now there's a precedent. Like all the other YouTubers are doing it, so... I gotta think PewDiePie's
Honestly think that physical books are on the way out. I really, really, really think so.
I'm not sure yet.
I'm not sure. I'm on the fence. So we'll debate that. We'll talk about it in Whistler when we come back in August.
All right. So if you have any new ideas for us, any stories you want us to talk about,
you can tweet us at Amplify Podcast on Twitter.
Or stop by amplifypodcast.com, where you can check out all the links to all the profiles that we talked about today. Plus,
Trusted Nerd.
Yes.
Should we have the whole profile?
We should have a picture. We'll have a picture.
We'll have the links. We'll have your Twitter
link. Everything.
We'll get all the stuff
on
there.
It'll be all Trusted Nerd right there.
It'll be awesome. Anyway, we look forward to the next time we can help you figure out what's next.